Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Out of the Carpentry Shop. Based on our gospel reading from John chapter 1 today, finding our theme just in that first verse that we read, verse 43, again, which reads, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee." I encourage you to follow along in your sermon outline, the blue insert, as we consider our theme, Out of the Carpentry Shop. Understatement. When you look up the word understatement in the dictionary, here's what you find. To represent as less. To state something less strongly than may be done. Understatement. How often have you said or heard someone say, "Why, that's an understatement," when the thing you're talking about could have been said with so much more force or power? We had a little bit of snow around here this winter. That's an understatement. The price of gasoline has been a little high this year, and you noticed it's rising again. That's an understatement. Once in a while, a person has to wonder what our politicians are thinking about. That's an understatement. Things just aren't the same now as when I was a young whippersnapper. That's an understatement. My parents don't have a clue what's going on in my school. That's an understatement. The holy and almighty God sure is merciful and forgiving for a sinner like me. That's an understatement. That's what we find in today's gospel reading from John chapter 1, verse 43, which reads again simply, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee." The verses that immediately follow this text, the verses which immediately precede this text, are the verses in which John the Baptist spots Jesus. Jesus has just left his parents' home. He has just left Joseph's carpentry shop, and he begins his three-year public ministry. And when John the Baptist first sees Jesus, he spots him and he gives him a title. And he says to Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," telling all of us who Jesus is and why he has come. And the verses that follow today's verse tell us about Jesus beginning that public ministry, performing his first miracle, turning water into wine at the wedding in Canaan, demonstrating his holy anger as he kicks the money changers out of the temple, and teaching a religious leader the truth of God's word, Nicodemus, "You must be born again." All of these acts of ministry and the ultimate reason Jesus came, his crucifixion on the cross and resurrection from the dead, are only made possible by this single, understated verse in Scripture. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. But what does this have to do with our sermon title, Out of the Carpentry Shop? Our text tells us very clearly, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He had a choice. He didn't have to. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus didn't have to leave the home of Joseph and Mary to go the way of the cross for you. He could have chosen a much more pleasant and peaceful life than one of suffering and crucifixion. That's an understatement. let's spend some time together this morning considering these things. Come with me on an imaginary journey to Joseph's carpentry shop, where Jesus worked alongside his earthly father for 30 years. Jesus is now a man of the age of 30, and he has a big decision to make. Jesus looked around the carpentry shop. He stood for a moment in the refuge of that workshop that held for him so many wonderful memories. He balanced the hammer in his hand that his Papa Joseph had taught him how to use. He ran his finger across the teeth of the saw that he himself had used so much. He stroked the wood of the well-worn workbench where he spent so many times with his father. But he had come to say goodbye to Joseph's carpentry shop. It was time for him to leave, and he knew it was time. The time set aside for him by his Father in heaven. So he came one last time to Joseph's carpentry shop to smell the sawdust and to smell the lumber. Life was so peaceful here in the carpentry shop. Life was so safe. On this dirt floor, he played when he was a toddler, when his father Joseph worked. Here at this bench, Joseph taught him how to hold a hammer. Which end was the right end? On this workbench, Jesus built his very first chair. I wonder what he thought about. Don't you wonder what he thought about when he took one last look around the carpenter shop? Perhaps he listened as voices from his past filled the air. Hand me that piece of hardwood, Jesus. Good job on that chair, Jesus. Joseph, Jesus, time to eat. I wonder if Jesus hesitated. I wonder if his heart was torn. I wonder if he rolled a big nail between his fingers and his thumb, anticipating the pain that a nail like that could cause, as it would pierce his hands and his feet. Now you can almost, if you use your imagination, see the tools of his carpenter's trade in the future words that he spoke in ministry. You can see the trueness of a straight edge as he called people to live by the straight edge of God's holy word. You can hear the whistle of a handheld plane as he pleads for a religion that shaves away the unnecessary traditions of man-made rules and laws. You can imagine him with a pencil and a business ledger in hand, writing out a bill as he urges people to treat others with honesty and with respect. It was here in this carpentry shop that Jesus' human hands shaped and formed the wood that his divine hands had created. It was here in this carpentry shop that his body and his emotions matured while he waited for just the right moment, for just the right day. And now, that day had arrived. The text says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. It must have been difficult for him to leave because life as a carpenter wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. Business was good. Working with Joseph was pleasant. Having Mother Mary so nearby gave a warm and nurturing home life. And in Nazareth, he was known only as Jesus, the son of Joseph. He was respected in his community. He was respected in his synagogue. He was good with his hands. Children loved him. He could tell a good joke and fill the air with contagious laughter. I wonder if Jesus ever wanted to say, I could build a good life here in Nazareth. Settle down, get married, have a family. I wonder, because Jesus had already read the last chapter in the book of his life. He knew that his feet, his precious feet that would soon step out of a carpenter shop, would not rest until they had been nailed to a Roman cross. You see, he didn't have to go. The text says Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He could have stayed in the carpentry shop. He could have ignored the call to the cross, or at least postponed it. Who would have blamed him? Who would have known? Why, he could have postponed this whole thing for centuries until crosses had gone out of style. But his heart wouldn't let him. If there were hesitation on the part of his human nature, it was overcome by the compassion of his divine nature. Because he was true God and true man, his divine nature heard the voices, the hopeless cries of the sinful, the bitter accusations of the abandoned, the painful despair of those trying to save themselves. And his divine nature saw the faces in the future, some weeping, some fearful, some searching, some guilty. From the face of Adam in that first garden of creation, to the face of the infant born right now, even as we speak, Jesus heard all of your words, saw all of our faces, and you can be sure of one thing. Among those voices that found their way into that carpentry shop were your voices. Your prayers uttered on a stained pillow in your bed were answered before they were even spoken. Your deepest questions about death and eternity were answered before they were ever asked. And your deepest need, your need for a Savior from sin, was met before you were ever born or ever sinned. And not only in that carpentry shop did Jesus hear you, he saw your face. He saw your face in shame the hour you sinned and you hurt others so close to you and you yourself. He saw your face in pain as you tried to face up against but failed against the onslaught of the devil and the temptations in this life. He saw your face in despair as you tried to figure out how a holy God could ever love a sinner like you. That same face that looked at you in this morning's bathroom mirror looked at Jesus in that carpenter shop. And it was enough to send him to the cross and to leave the comfort of Joseph's carpentry shop. He left because of you. He laid down his security with the hammer. He hung up his peaceful life on a peg on the wall with his nail apron. He locked the door on his peaceful family life and said goodbye to those who raised him. He could bear your sins more easily than he could bear the thought of your eternal hopelessness. So he chose to leave. The next day, John says, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. What an understatement. In the name of Jesus, amen.